Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 36 of the Good Day podcast, where Maxie and I talk about our adventures down under. We are in the nicest house sit we have been yet.
Yes, in Bly Bly.
Yes, we're just outside the Sunshine Coast. We can literally see the Sunshine Coast from our clear glass windows and our balcony overlooking the sea and the woodlands and this river here. It's absolutely gorgeous.
The only reason we have these clear glass windows shut is because we don't want the birds interfering with this recording. But normally, the whole house just opens up, and the guest house that we're sleeping in, all the doors just open up, and it can be an open box of, like, fresh air flowing in.
The house is absolutely gorgeous. I'm sure Maxie will do a house tour on the Instagram, so be sure to go check that out. It's awesome. And what are the animals we're sitting for here?
Oh my gosh. Three chickens.
Three little chickens. And one of them is like a floofy chicken, and it's the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's called a Silky, I think. And I need Silky chickens. But I keep thinking that I'm forgetting to do something for the animals, but it's just chickens. I have to keep reminding myself, like, there's no morning walk, there's no evening walk.
It's just chickens. They're so easy, and we will take the best care of these chickens as possible.
Except you were willing to feed them chocolate cheesecake.
I thought chickens, like, literally eat anything, and then Maxie Googled it, and they're like, no, don't feed them chocolate. But, like, also Google says don't feed them chicken, but the homeowner is like, oh, yeah, they can eat chicken.
Yeah,
which is so messed up.
Yeah. Anyways, we had a little cheesecake from the store going bad, and Corey was like, throw it in the... She just composts everything that goes to the chickens or puts it in its own container. And basically, we did not put it in the chicken container at the end of the day.
No, not at all. But we left off last week talking to the old homeowners, Emma and Adam, who were probably the nicest homeowners.
Yes.
That we've sat for yet. They were just super nice to us. And I don't know, we told them about the broken window and they were like, oh, don't worry, it's no big deal. Like, these things happen. I'm shocked it hasn't happened to us yet, because like those windows near the doors slam open and slam shut. So they're like, don't worry about it, no big deal.
Yeah, they were so nice. They kept saying, I'm surprised it hasn't happened to us first.
Yeah, and we actually, when they came back, we spent the night with them and ended up just buying them some dinner. Well, yeah, they split a dinner at a Thai food place. So hopefully that made it up to them a little bit, because we did feel bad about the door situation. But they were super nice about it, and it was no big deal to them.
Yeah, it was almost like we're friends with them, because we have never taken up a host's offer to stay longer. And while it was just like an extra few hours, because they got home around like 6 p.m. and we left in the early the next morning.
We usually like to get out of there.
Yeah, we like to get out of there. And they were really chill and fun. So,
yeah. Made some friends there. And they said they would visit us if they went to Connecticut ever.
Yeah, hopefully they do. They're really cool people.
Yeah. And last week I also was talking about how the car was like slow to start. Like, it sounds like the battery was like getting drained, and it was like, I don't know, it sounded like almost like a dead battery, but the car would still start every time. And I thought it was one of the ports were dirty, and I thought I fixed it, but no. I think, I don't really know if you guys know anything about car batteries. Let me know, because I think it just needs to be recharged. I thought it was like a flooded wet cell battery that needed new, you needed like water, some types of batteries. Anyway, this is boring, but the car starts every time, but there seems like to be an issue with the battery. I'm not really too sure what's going on.
It just makes a slow noise when starting.
Yeah, it just sounds like your car battery's dead, so maybe we'll just try and charge it.
But it works. And we explored that area of
Tiwantin.
Yamundi, and that's near what Corey just said is Tiwantin. And we ended up going, they have a lot of good health food stores in Australia. Like every town with a good amount of...
No, every town everywhere.
Well, like, not in like the outback.
Oh yeah, not in the outback. But even in like Darwin, they had...
Yeah. every town, like, I don't remember this being such a common thing in the States, but every town has multiple health food stores that have all the products that I like to buy.
Like Supernatural, like
natural soaps, natural toothpaste without fluoride, like that kind of thing. And foods and organic sourdough flour, like that kind
of. Oh, yeah. This is, they're selling like sourdough starter kits for like $100. It's an absolute racket. We got to start doing that back home.
Yeah. But we tried some raw milk because now I'm just eating everything and it's not really affecting me as much as it had been. So
that's a positive.
We're clearing allergies away. We're energy healing. But the raw milk was cool. Haven't had milk in so long. At least not like that. I was pouring it into like my iced matchas.
Yeah, and speaking of some other food that we've been consuming and eating and making this week, we did some fun things like homemade gnocchi, homemade pizza, and braised short ribs, which were really good.
Really, really, really good. I normally don't like gnocchi. We had it both ways. We boiled it one night, and then we did the pan-fried gnocchi the next time we had it. And I kind of like the pan-fried gnocchi. I normally don't like that when I order that at restaurants.
Yeah, pan-fried is good. Like, we had when we were making the gnocchi, it was a little bit of a mishap where we put all of the made gnocchi into, like, a bowl. And then we just let it sit for probably not even 5 minutes.
Before it was cooked. So yeah. It was just sticky dough.
Still sticky dough. And then it basically, we layered it on top of each other. And then it became just basically dough again. So we had to reshape them as they were getting thrown into boiling water. But, you know, you live and you learn with gnocchi.
Yeah, it still tasted the same. It just wasn't like a perfect pillow shape that first night.
And also, I think that it was the same day where, I don't know what we were doing, but we just had the door open for a while and we were just playing outside with the dogs. And we come back in and on the spinning fan, I see just like a little head pop out from the side. And they have a ton of these little, like, harmless lizards everywhere. And one of those guys was on the spinning fan. I have no idea why he wanted to get on the spinning fan.
A gecko, not, like, a big lizard.
Yeah, just, like, he was, like, 2 inches long. He's pretty small. But this guy was just on the spinning fan, hanging out. I turned off the fan, and Maxie was like, don't turn it on, and he was smart.
Then Corey turned it on high speed for, like, 2 seconds.
He was going for a wild ride. But also, this lizard hung around for a couple days. He was, like, I think he was the same one, and then eventually, we saw him, like, 2 other times in the house. And then eventually, he was in the bathroom, and he scared us, and I just picked him up and set him free.
Yeah. We saw them in multiple areas of the house. One climbed into the shower with me. I didn't notice, but it was on the floor of the shower when I got out. They're kind of cute, though.
Yeah, the little lizards aren't too bad. Like, they're just fast, and they're like, ooh. But maybe they eat all the bugs, so keep them inside, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what they say.
Yeah.
And Corey discovered the funniest thing online.
Oh, my gosh. So I was just looking at Google Maps, checking out, like, where we have to go or something. And then off the Sunshine Coast, I see this, like, this marker or just, like, this mark on this tag on Google Maps that was called the Blinker. I was like, what is it? Like, it's just a fishing spot or something. It's odd to have things in the sea that are, like, marked because, like, typically you don't see anything out there. So I click on it. And yeah, it's just like, it's a blinker. It's like a big navigational buoy is exactly what it is. And I just like look at it and there's like, it's got terrible reviews. So I was like, this is funny. This is just like something that shouldn't have any reviews. It's got like 61 star reviews. It's like, what's going on here? And so I start reading the reviews and then there's all this like hidden lore behind the blinker. And I guess people make up stories or maybe they're real stories of the incident that happened at the blinker. Let me pull one up real quick and Maxie could probably talk more about it.
People write paragraphs. So like you're like, you click the marker and you're like, oh, a buoy with reviews. And then you just see all the one-star reviews with paragraphs, and they're all stories of people being very vague telling like a haunted story or a horror story, basically. And they all just say the phrase, the incident in them.
So I found this is just one of the most recent ones from 1 month ago. It's a review from JGRZ12, one star. And he says, I regret the day I decided to visit the Blinker. It felt like a normal day. Everyone there, well, he was not really good with his punctuation. He says, everyone there were having a good time. Everyone there was having a good time. I was chowing down on my Blinker burger. Unbeknownst to me, I had just made the worst decision of my life. As I was almost done with my meal, I felt a sudden, soft tap on my shoulder. A sudden rush of panic overwhelmed me. I slowly turned around, adrenaline pumping, coursing through my veins. My vision narrowed. I saw his coat, his long fingernails. I was afraid of what was going to happen next. It was Sir John Blink. Why had he chosen me? I thought to myself. Everything afterwards was just a blur. Even sitting here, 25 years later, I shudder to think about that day, that fateful day at the Blinker. And it's got 60 reviews, 2.1 stars on Google. So
did that one say the incident? No.
That one didn't say the incident.
A lot of them say, after the incident, the Blinker has never been the same. And
after the incident, our blinks are in sync. When I close my eyes, I see the dull light peer into my soul. It deprives me of sleep and creeps into my brain as I walk, nightmares that only leave after the medication takes over. They give me reprieve. They tell me it's just PTSD, but there is a connection that runs far deeper, a physical, emotional, spiritual level. Those who were there know the connection. They know the pain, and it will never be the same again.
So it's so funny.
And there's so many of them, and it's just hilarious that I just found that. So I had to write one of my own. So if you
no,
want,
you didn't.
I helped write one of my own.
With ChatGPT.
Yeah, it created a nice little story. So if you're interested, go find the Blinker off the coast of Queensland and check out all the fun reviews on there.
Of the coast of what? The Sunshine Coast?
The Sunshine Coast, yeah.
Anyways, I think that we didn't really describe how gorgeous the twice a daily walk we went on was because...
Well, at first we thought it was kind of hard because it was hilly.
Yeah, it was hilly. The countryside is very hilly there. And all these rich people have gorgeous yards with horses in the back and cows and just views for days of mountains and
it's a really nice
rolling hills.
Yeah.
And they all have nice landscaping. So there is just this one section right when we go up a lot of hills on this walk, but then at one point we get to go down hills. Right when you start to go down the hill, there's this gorgeous two properties, they're facing each other. They both have great landscaping. And someone must have a million jasmine plants because the whole section of the street just smells intoxicating. Even when...
It's the best smelling thing I've ever smelled. And we would go by, when we drive by with our cars, we'd stop and open the windows to smell with the beautiful smelling... it was jasmine, right?
We yeah.
The conclusion
I
was jasmine.
It was jasmine. But... Corey's not kidding. We literally would roll down our window every single time we went by just to try to get as many sniffs in as we could. I don't like fragrance and perfumes, but a natural jasmine.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. We're going to have to plant those back home.
Yeah, I like wake up and smell the flowers or whatever the saying is. That's what we did every morning. We smelt them and yeah, we got to plant those good smelling plants and everything. So it's like spring down here now, so everything's starting to come into bloom. Well, it's like there's no real seasons here. It's like I don't know, it's basically summer all the time. But the homeowners we're sitting for now, they have like a fireplace in their house, probably use it like once every 5 years. You know, they'll probably have the fire on and then have the AC going because it'll get too hot in here.
Yeah,
during the winter
they have decorative acorns inside their fireplace.
Yeah.
Or pine cones, sorry.
Yeah.
But I got a funny text from my old Magnetic Island boss, Sharon, and she sent me a photo of, okay, so I think I might have mentioned this, but I donated a lot of clothes before leaving Magnetic Island, but I told my brand new coworker slash replacement at that job that I was going to donate clothes, and she was like, please let me see them first. So the day we were leaving, I just dropped them off to her, a couple bags, and said, just bring them to the donation center, whatever you don't want.
And I only put, I was getting rid of some stuff too, and I put two t-shirts in there.
Yeah, Corey put only two things in because he's already done big donation dumps. And the funniest part is, like, I kept saying to Corey, like, I don't think that me and this girl are similar in style at all. Like, she's very, like, black t-shirt with nothing on it, black shorts, or just, like, very simple. And yeah. I just dressed, like, a little bit different. Like, she just seemed more tomboyish. And so, anyways, I was like, okay, maybe she'll find some free clothes for me and, like, want to, like, experiment with a new style. Who knows? Or maybe it'll all go to the donation center. So she never said a word to me about, like, if she kept the clothes or not. But then I get a text from my old boss, and it's a photo of the girl wearing my clothes. So I open the message, and it's her in Corey's clothes.
Yeah, she was wearing one of the shirts that I donated. Out of the whole thing, she picked my shirt.
I think there was just one shirt and one pair of sweatpants that you put in.
Yeah, that's it.
So she chose your one shirt.
That's crazy.
And he wore that shirt on our honeymoon a lot. So I'll post, like, a maybe I'll share that on the podcast content. Corey wearing the shirt and the girl wearing the shirt.
Oh, so this funny. Is just so funny. Yeah.
So I bet all my clothes made its way to the donation center.
And speaking of your other shirt.
Yeah. So speaking of shirts, at the Yamundi market, I think the only thing I got there besides that honey was a
Noosa t-shirt.
Yeah. A t-shirt that said Sunny Coast on it and had a cool, like, Australia Sunny Coast map on the back. And the guy who was running the shop just had so many ink marks on his shirts and different, like, types of shirts. So I found, like, a medium in a looser fit. And then I found an extra small and a longer fit. And the extra small was, like, so much bigger. And it was on the woman's size. And he just told me, like, no, you need to get this style in extra small, but I don't have it. So you're going to have to come back or come down to my workshop.
He had, like, market energy, too. You know, like, someone trying to sell stuff. Like, he's trying to move product. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, the high-energy market man. I would describe his, like, vibe.
Yeah, so he was like, come down to my workshop or just come to the next market. And I'm reprinting them this week, so we'll have your size. And so, anyways, we come back the next market day, which was probably a Saturday.
Yes.
And he acted like he didn't know me, and he was like, I don't know, do we have it in that size? You have to go check. And then he found one. He was like, actually, I did print one, and he found it, and it had ink marks all over it, just like the rest of his shirts. And I had carefully selected a size small in the one that I wanted when I did buy one, because I did originally buy one, and he was just like, come switch it out. So I carefully selected one without ink marks, and he swaps it for me with this one that looked fine at first glance. And then I walked out of his little stall and I realized, oh, there's massive ink marks on the front of this one. So I went back and I was like, oh, can I wash this off? Knowing that you cannot wash off an ink mark. And he goes, oh, I don't know. Just come back. And so we came on Wednesday the next week, and he also acted like he didn't know me again. And said, I don't know, do we have that in that size? You have to go check.
Yeah.
The same story again. Luckily, I finally got my extra small t-shirt without ink marks on it. But I was checking it over for ink marks, and he's like, they're all the same. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I just got to check that this one doesn't have ink marks.
Yeah, that was a riot. It's just so weird. Like, it happened to us twice this week where, like, we had, like, these long conversations with people. And then we have to go back to them because, like, another example was we had a couple cracks in our windscreen and our windshield. and we needed them filled, and we went and got a quote from somebody, and then we came back a couple of days later, and the guy didn't act like he didn't know us. They're like,
yeah, it was a small business of a dad and a son, and we talked to both of them, and yeah, the dad was just, they're
yeah,
weird. They're
and
weird.
And that's how exactly the market guy acted, even though we probably talked to him for like a total of half an hour out of the next 3 days, maybe not that long, but
yeah, he definitely had to remember us.
Yeah, and another thing at the markets was, I don't know, so last week I think I talked about it, how I always get confused with an Argentinian, like, how did people think I'm Argentinian, and then an Argentinian guy at the markets started speaking Spanish to me. He also didn't recognize us from last week, because he asked me the same exact thing this week. Last week I said, no, I'm from America. This week I said, yes, I'm Argentinian. And
well, it's funny, we were walking by and we didn't even say anything to him, and he goes, sir, where are you from?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he said, oh yeah, where are you from? And I said, Argentina. I just kept walking, and he's like, what, you're from Argentina?
And he started speaking Spanish, right?
Yeah, he started speaking Spanish to me, and
you were just cackling.
Yeah, it was so funny, just because, like, you're not gonna remember me, I'm just gonna say whatever I want, because you won't remember me again.
Yeah, that guy was insane.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then Corey and I were having this conversation about his birthday and like what day it falls on back home. And what is it, a Sunday?
Oh, who knows?
So I think it's a Sunday. And I was just like game planning for his birthday.
Yeah, my birthday's not until March, by the way.
Yeah, and Corey goes, well, it might be a Saturday back home. And I said, no, your birthday's on a Sunday. And he goes, no, but back home, like the time change, it might be on a Saturday. And I was like, Corey, your birthday, March 2nd, is on a Sunday. And he goes, no, Maxie, it might be a Saturday. And so...
Well, because here's my thoughts. It's like, because we're literally a day ahead here. And I was like, oh, that probably means that like... Right, like the calendar could be messed up, and because if you look at a calendar and today is October 31st, but like back home it's not October 31st, and that's yesterday.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah, happy Halloween. And I was just confused because sometimes I thought like, oh, maybe the days are moved, but that's just not how it works. It's just time, not days.
Yeah, it was hilarious, and we had this conversation for way too long.
Like, it's hard to think of, like, I don't know,
it's just so funny. Come on.
Yeah, it was funny. I was just confused.
It's okay. But we did have a big scare, not really, but like a little bit of a jump scare.
Oh yeah, the last house that we were at, they had a big book, then it said, like, you know, just a welcome book that has all information in it. And one of the things that we saw was, like, they don't have any venomous, like, snakes. And we're like, all right, that's fine. Venomous snakes are fine. Or not. Or, like, non-venomous snakes are chill. And one morning we were taking the dogs out, and we see this moving stick in our driveway. It wasn't a stick. It was a snake.
Yeah, it was slithering up the curb, so we could see its belly, and it had a red belly, and it was black. So I was like, red belly black snake, because that's exactly what it is. Sorry, we had to change rooms, but we saw a red belly black snake, and I announced it to Corey, and he was like, what do you think it's called? And I said, a red bellied black snake, and he was laughing. And
very detailed description of snakes here.
But that's exactly what it's called. Yeah. I like literally knew it because I know about that snake.
I literally had to Google it, and it was called red belly black snake.
Yeah, and it's one of the venomous snakes, so.
Yeah, and it like slithered into our yard too, which was a little scary, but we didn't see it at all again.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I'll post the video at G'day Pod.
Yeah, and one, I think, I don't know if it was that night, maybe the next night, we were just like late coming home from the beach or something, and it was pouring rain, and we had to take the dogs for a walk, and we're like, oh, we'll just take them like after. and we ate dinner and stuff, and we started taking the dogs out, but there was a million cane toads, which are just little frogs, and the frogs were everywhere. And every step we took, you'd almost step on a frog. And a couple times when Maxie, you don't really like the frogs.
Well, I think they were attracted to the light because it was evening. It had just got dark when we started our walk, so we brought a flashlight. And they were like hopping into the stream of light.
And they were all hopping at Maxie's feet. And she was playing like Dance Dance Revolution, trying to get get out of the way of these cane toads.
I do that a lot. Every time an animal comes at me like that in Australia, I do the Dance Dance Revolution getaway.
Yeah, trying to hop away, just trying to do anything so that little critter doesn't touch you.
Like when Marshall's with us and that giant grasshopper hit me.
Oh my gosh, that thing was huge.
And then just so many other times where if I think something's coming near me and it's just a shadow, you'll see me do the leg thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely hilarious.
I got quick feet.
But we didn't really make it that far on the walk just because the toads were everywhere. And if you guys remember, I think that's what happened to the dog, Winnie. She, like, licked a cane toad and got all sick. So we were like, oh, let's just go home and get these dogs back inside.
Yeah, but there's so many that whoever introduced them to Australia made a huge mistake. And sorry to all the animal activists listening, but the Australians self-proclaim that it's their national pastime to golf with these
cane toads.
Toads.
They're such a bad species. They just destroy everything. And it's like, I think there's like a wild hog problem in like Texas, and it's like equivalent to that. Like they just rip up everything, and they're really bad for all the natural animals. So these Australians, they love to just, like, every time you say the cane toads, they like imitate swinging a golf club.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but kind of effed up.
Yeah, and speaking of golf too, we went to a mini golf course on a little date.
Corey invited me on a proper date. So cute. And we had so much fun.
Yeah, the course was really good. They had 18 holes, but they had 2 holes per course. And we decided to
run it back.
Yeah, play a first round. I won that round by 3 strokes, 4 strokes. No big deal. But Maxie actually, on the second round, beat me in a phenomenal effort. Even though I had 2 hole-in-ones, Maxie was just so consistent that she beat me by 1 stroke.
Well, let the record be known that I was winning for the majority of the first game, and then I just, like, I don't know what happened. I lost focus. And then the second game, I just stuck with it, except for that one hole. I would have beat you by more, but this one hole, there was a family of, like, 6 or more people that were so slow. They're all our age, and
well, it was just they let us go through. They let us play through, and
they all stood there at our hole watching us go, and we wanted to go quickly because
And you wanted to go quick on the next hole too.
Yeah, I don't like people watching me, to be honest. I guess maybe I'm insecure golfing, but I like had such a high stroke number on that one because they're watching.
Yeah.
But so I would have crushed you that round. Well,
I don't know, because I don't know if you counted the second hole correctly, because it was a lot of strokes, and you're like, this is maybe 4.
No? Are you just making this up now?
No, it's something I remembered.
Me?
Yeah.
No, you're a liar. I would never be dishonest about my game. I've been the worst mini golf player for so many years. Like, honestly, I didn't even want to go mini golfing because I'm such a under my past performances, I am a really bad mini golf player. And I kept saying, and I wouldn't lie, I lose all the time. I wouldn't lie. I kept saying during when we were playing, like, this course is so easy. This course is so easy. And Corey was like, no, this is a really good course. It's a really good course. And we realized that
Maxie was just got good at golf.
I got good at golf because for like 15 months, I worked in office in Old Saybrook with a bunch of guys, and they just mini golfed every day in the office. And it like I also had to participate in their daily challenges, and they actually helped me with my mini golf. And I just blacked that out, I guess, because they actually did help me improve. And I got a ton of twos.
Yeah, Maxie had a streak where I think she got 9 twos in a row.
But way more twos throughout the whole course.
Yeah.
No holes in ones, though.
Yeah, so now the series is tied 1-1, and we'll have to go play mini golf somewhere else to see who is a real champion mini golfer.
We're currently near a mini golf.
Yeah, so maybe we'll update you guys on the Instagram who will win the match. Take your guesses.
Yep.
Yeah, and after that, was that the same day that we had Charlotte and Giacomo over? No, I think it was the next day.
The next day.
Yeah, our friends that we've made all the way back up in Townsville before Magnetic Island have been coming down the coast, and we met up with them again, and what did you make?
Paso Azul.
Yes, and Maxie was so proud because...
Well, it's a simple peasant dish that my mom makes, and I just started making it, like, the other day, it feels like. It's really pasta fagioli in Italian, mm-hmm. but us American Italians shorten it to Paso Azul.
Yes.
And so we had Giacomo, who's from Italy, and Charlotte from England, over. And Giacomo knew exactly what it was. And he didn't even have to ask what I put in front of him or what I was making. Like, he was just like, oh, Paso Azul.
Yeah. So that was a big, proud moment. And he also said, I made Tuscany bread because I made a bread that I forgot to put salt in. And
he called Corey out.
Yeah, and I put like a lot of oil on the bottom of the pan, and so it was like an oily base with just a little bit of salt on top of the bread. And I guess that's Tuscany bread.
Tuscan bread. And he also said it was bruschetta bread, so yes. We should put like tomatoes on it.
That sounds good.
If you make it again.
Yeah, and we already talked a little bit about that was fun to see those guys again, and I think we'll see them down the coast as we wander down.
Yeah, and the dogs were so good with them.
Yeah, they were nice. I loved those last dogs we sat for.
Banjo and Betty were the best.
Yeah, I think they rank, if we're doing dog rankings, number Banjo at least number two, I think. Could be number one. He was so sweet.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and back to we've kind of talked about it a little bit already, but we got our windshield repaired.
Who knew you could repair glass?
I was shocked. Like, there was a massive crack. Like, not like a crack that goes across the windshield, but just like you could tell a rock hit the windshield. And
a crater.
Yeah, it was big. Too bad we didn't take any pictures of it. It was just so annoying.
It was so big.
Yeah, and
we had like 5 micro cracks from other rocks.
Yeah, and I thought that we would have to get
a new windshield.
A full new windshield. So that's what I was going in there to do, but like the way they repaired glass, it just looks like a bug hit the window now. It's so good compared to what it was.
In that big spot, but in the other little spots you can't even tell that there was any cracks.
It's insane.
When we first walked in there, the son was like, oh, yeah. The first thing he said to us was like, oh, that fish in there could kill you.
Yeah. Is that a fish tank?
Yeah. So Corey and I were like, oh, because he was busy working on a different car. So we were like, oh, okay, we'll step into this office and look at the fish he's talking about. And he's like, yeah, that's a freshwater fish in our creeks and canals. And if you step on it, dead. He said way more deadly than a stonefish?
Yeah, stonefish.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the younger son, or the son, he wasn't young, but he was hyped about that fish tank. It almost seemed like he was like, we got to put a fish tank in this office. Yeah. Like, it's going to be the talking point of everybody. We got to put a fish tank in here.
And he has to point it out to every customer just to get the kudos for doing it.
Yeah, it was a nice fish tank. He had a massive goldfish or something in there that was big.
Yeah, that was really funny. But then the dad, like, took a look at our car, gave us his quote, and then we came back and... the son like scheduled us in.
Yeah.
And said that we could probably do it the same day. And it was the same day that the dad gave us the opportunity to schedule, but we said we'll call back. So we show up and the dad was like acting like, you don't expect this to get done today, do you? And then
I think a lot of Australians, and eventually he like opened up and was a little nicer.
And then he was so nice to us. Like he was very cold.
Yeah.
And then so nice, like wanted to be our friends, wanted to keep talking to us. And we're like, all right, we got to go. And then when we did come back for the actual appointment on that Monday, he was like, Corey was like, hey, can we just like make sure that this isn't going to be worth it to just replace the windshield entirely? Like if it's like $100 more to get a brand new windshield, like
we really don't, yeah.
We don't want to be wasting our money repairing these cracks. Because we had already said that before, but we just like wanted to make it like clear, like, hey, like you're the expert. You've been in business for 60 years, he claims. Like, can we just make sure that we're either like getting the best bang for our buck?
Yeah. It'd be like $500 to get a new windshield. And he quoted us at being like $300 to do these repairs. So we're like, all right, we'll save $200.
But then he kept saying like, we'll see how much resin I use. We'll see how much resin I use. So he was basically like leaving the opportunity for it being more than he quoted us. And so Corey was like, yeah, like I understand if it'll be more, just like let us know if you think that we should probably just get a whole new windshield. And the guy was like, I can't really like promise anything, but like I'll get going and I'll, we'll see.
Yeah.
And so we come back at the end of the appointment and he's like, all grumpy.
Yeah.
And he's like, so that big crack that I told you had two cracks, can making it look like one big crack, it actually was 11 cracks. So I used about $500 worth of resin, but I'll charge you $300. You win, I lose.
Yeah. And like that was really good of him that he charged us what he quoted us at. I mean, it's the right thing to do, but like it doesn't, it's not like you lose, like we probably ended up losing because
we should have got a, new windshield,
but yeah. it's all good now.
Paid less money for it.
Yeah.
But he's the expert. He literally said, I've been doing this for 60 years. Like if you can't examine our windshield and see the 11 cracks, like, I don't know, maybe.
That's a bit odd. Yeah.
You just quoted us bad.
Yeah. But we got that done and
gave him a good review.
Yeah, and I mentioned the fish tank in the Google review.
Yeah, so brand new windshield, basically.
Yeah, brand new windshield, brand new stuff. And oh, and something I wanted to talk about was how I saw something on Instagram where it was like a video of someone saying like, oh, people don't have any new phrases like anymore. I forget some of the old classic phrases, but that got me thinking of like,
take a hike, buddy.
Yeah, take a hike, why don't you take a hike, or I don't know, just any of these classic phrases that like
you get a load of this guy.
Yeah. And Maxie, and I was talking to Maxie about this and she was like, yeah, I don't know, what, it's whatever. And then she said something that actually all my phrases that my new phrases that I've thought of come from things Maxie said. And one of them was,
well, I said, we were on the walk with the dogs and there were a bunch of different birds together. And then they flew away when we got close. And I said, oh, the rainbow lorikeets were hanging with the pigeons.
Yeah. And so I was like, wow, that could be one of the new phrases. So I have two new phrases that I'm going to introduce to everyone, and you could start saying them and start making them part of popular culture. And hanging with the pigeons is one of them. It basically means like, oh, you're just doing nothing all day. You don't have to go to work. You're not contributing to society. Maybe you're snacking a little bit. Just like, yeah, you're hanging with the pigeons today, not doing anything. And then this one is a little more philosophical.
Wait, I don't remember saying this one. Like, I don't remember the context.
I don't know. You just said something about a surfer. But this is the next one.
This is what I said.
Just a surfer without a board. Just let that one sink in for a moment. That one is
deep.
Deep. It means you're lost in life, you know. All surfers, they have boards. They go surfing. If you're a surfer without a board, it means you're truly lost. So feel free to use those in any of your current day-to-day life. They're new phrases, so enjoy them.
And there was a potential one about like a fire on the mountain, because we drove by a fire on the mountain and Corey was thinking about making it a phrase, but I don't think we ever...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Be like, fire, oh, yeah, that's just a fire on the mountain. You know, it's just something that's a problem that's off in the distant future that really doesn't concern you. I don't know. It's like, I don't really love that one, but yeah, you guys could toss that one in.
So we're like Jerry and Esther Hicks. I'm channeling these messages from Source. This is what Corey said, actually, and he's writing them down.
Yeah.
Anyways, the day we left the host and we spent that extra night with them, we headed to Noosa Heads National Park, and it was a Tuesday. And it was before 10 a.m., so we thought that, oh, easy, we'll find a parking spot.
Yeah, we wanted to do just like a quick hike over to the Hell's Gate or the fairy pools and do a quick swim or something. I've never seen more cars in my life. Like, it was like New York City trying to find a parking spot.
Yeah, there was absolutely zero spots, and we had to go to a different town.
Yeah, we were just like, this isn't worth it. Like, why are there so many people here? It's like, it's a cool place, but like, come on, this is insane. So we ended up going like literally 30 minutes down to Coulomb Beach, which is another really nice area, and found a parking spot immediately, chill spot. Yeah, and that kind of just illustrates how all of Australian pop, like the entire population of Australia is basically on the East Coast within a 12-hour driving distance, maybe 14-hour driving distance from the top to the bottom. It's insane how dense the population is, like, just on this East Coast side.
Yeah, that is crazy to think about. But we went to Coulomb, which was one of Gabe's favorite spots. Shout out Gabe Granberry.
Shout out Gabe.
And there was an SLSC field trip happening. It was adorable.
What does that stand for?
Surf Life Saving Club. Australian lifeguards are all part of the Surf Life Saving Club, and it's most of them are unpaid. I mean, if it's a really touristy beach, you're a paid lifeguard, but it's this...
Think Bondi Rescue, that TV show.
They're definitely paid. But yeah, it's a huge thing here because they have big waves and they have
all dangerous sorts things, of things
in the water, and you know,
it's like surfers. A career. Yeah.
Yeah, so these people are good people. And anyways, a bunch of kids from school were on a field trip with the lifeguards, and tell them about it, Corey.
Oh, it was just so much. It was so funny. There was like 80 kids all wearing different swimming caps, and like they did all these exercises, like running out into the water and like jumping into the waves, doing a little swim back, and like running back to the beach and like doing push-ups, and there was like CPR dolls set up so they can learn how to do CPR. But it's so funny, like I saw the CPR dolls and I was like, I didn't even learn how to do this until high school, and these kids were definitely in like middle school or younger
I think.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. Like I mean it was a fun looking
great field trip.
Yeah,
they're like on surfboards too.
Yeah, boogie boards, riding the waves around.
Yeah, really, really fun. Australia just gets childhood, you know?
Yeah, they
just the best parks.
No, they have so many good parks.
They let their kids free range. And then after that, we went to, I'm going to say it wrong, but Mooloolaba,
yeah.
Corey's been getting these pronunciations really down pat.
I'm an Australian.
I don't think he hears them correctly first. So like I read it maybe how like an American would read these funny, silly spelled words, and that's how I just run with it. I don't adjust how I pronounce it. And then Corey has been adapting and like saying Mooloolaba sounds better.
Yeah, because I think I've heard it from Gabe because he says something. But like Maroochydore, or was another one where
Maroochydore.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. But Maroochydore.
Yeah. That was another one that I think I got right where I didn't hear it first. Yeah. And in Mooloolaba, we did a little bit of a beach walk because Gabe said that was his favorite beach or something like that. And there was just these massive lizards everywhere. Like the ones that run on 2 feet as well.
Oh, 4 feet.
No, they were running on the 2 feet,
like
but they have.
standing up.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
What were they doing with their front paws?
They were in the air.
Not in front of me.
Yeah, they were. You didn't notice
they, like,
that?
They stood up weirdly, and I kept saying, why do they lift their back legs to run? But I didn't know they weren't standing vertically.
Not vertical, but they were running on one, like, their back legs.
Okay, that explains why it was a weird
And they're running so fast as well.
A little freaky. But yeah, then we went to TK Maxx. You guys all
I
know.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. We know everybody in the world loves TK Maxx.
Wasn't it TGA back home, or did they change it?
Rebrand. In Australia, for some reason, it's called TK Maxx. I guess because another company is called TJ something, and they wanted to avoid confusion, but...
Is that what...
Yeah, I Googled it. But Corey and I thought it was so funny seeing TK Maxx.
Yeah, that was hilarious, because we haven't seen, like... We didn't think TJ Maxx existed out here because they have like Target, which is basically their
Kmart.
Yeah, Kmart and
is their Home Goods, and it's so good. Kmart back home is probably nothing.
Yeah, out here it's pretty good.
It's so good here, way cheaper than TJ Maxx and Home Goods.
Mm-hmm.
And really good.
Yeah, and after we went into TK Maxx, there wasn't really anything good in there. I don't really know, but I don't really think there's anything good in any TJ Maxx anyway.
No.
Now, we went to our new campsite, which was on like a 15-acre macadamia nut farm that just so happened to be next to some mountain biking trails, and they had a resident emu named Norbert.
Now, you might think we said Norbit or maybe Herbert, but no, we said Norbert.
Yeah, Norbert, the friendly emu, and the owner gave us like a pack of food to feed him, and what just an adorable guy. He only like tried to bite me once or twice.
Adorable is a really strong word.
You know, he was very ugly and homely, but it was like, it was him in his own way.
He tried to bite me too, and at first we thought he liked the people camping off to the side of us more. But then I think he spent like the whole night around, or the whole morning.
He spent the whole morning around us.
We got up really early. The sun rises at like 4 something a.m. And we got up way before the rest of the campers. But he just spent the whole morning from like 4 to 10 when we left around our car.
Yeah. So Norbert is our friend. I miss him and I wish we were pet sitting for him.
And when we chose the lady let us pick out our campsite. They were massive.
Oh, yeah. We haven't really seen many massive kangaroos. And we were telling that to the old homeowners. And they must have think we were crazy. Because that day we saw, like, the iconic 2 massive, big, muscly kangaroos. And one of them was at our campsite. And he was huge.
Huge. Ripped.
Like, he was probably, like, 6'5", if he stood up, like, straight. But, like, him just, like, lounging around he was, like... Maybe 5 foot. Like,
no, I would think. Oh, did you say 6'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you said 5'6".
No.
Okay, is that dyslexia?
Dyslexia for hearing.
So yeah. Anyways.
Oh, and one of Maxie's biggest fears happened to her. So we have fairly similar toothbrushes. Mine just has like a little blue on the bristles, and they're both like those bamboo toothbrushes, and Max's is all gray. Mine's gray and blue, and we keep them kind of close to each other just because we're
okay. I want to say bamboo toothbrushes, same exact handle. You're calling it gray, I would call it black bristles, mm-hmm. Maybe black gray. And then Corey's just has a little bit of blue on the tip of the front half of his bristles.
Yeah, and I always joke with Maxie, I'm like, so would you ever use my toothbrush if like you really needed to? And she says, no, not at all. That's disgusting. I would never do that.
I would use my finger.
Yeah. But that morning, I don't know what was going on because
I had a rough morning, I guess.
Maxie was brushing her teeth and I opened the drawer to get my toothbrush. And I pulled Maxie's toothbrush out, and she's brushing her teeth with my toothbrush. So her deepest, darkest fear has come true.
I brushed my teeth 3 times after that, just to make sure I got Corey's mouth germs off my mouth.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. It was just because we've been joking about it all year, basically, when it happened. It was just absolutely hilarious. Yeah, that was a good funny, good laugh we had there.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about a toothbrush grosses me out, but I do kiss him.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, it just so happened to be a place that was right next to a mountain biking park. And so that morning, I mean, we got up so early. We got up at like 4:45, something like that. So I went on a bike at like 6 and explored the trails a little bit. I liked the other trail network better. These were cool, but I don't know. It wasn't like, I probably started at the wrong point because we were at the bottom of a hill. So I had to basically hike up to the top of a hill to start the ride. It was just so steep. And yeah, it was okay trails. They're close to here. So maybe I'll try them out from the main parking lot.
And you left me with Norbert to go biking and he was grunting.
Yeah, Norbert was definitely being friendly around you at that time.
I was scared. I went into the rooftop tent.
Yeah, and after the bike, we hung around a little bit and eventually got to our new house sit where we met the homeowners and Tim.
Yeah, so, oh my God, this might be the best part of the podcast incoming, but... So the lady's name was Louise and her husband's Nigel, and she comes out of the house yelling, "Hi!" And we're like, "Hi!" And we look up and she's just this like larger woman in a bikini.
Yeah.
And she's just like, "Let me give you the tour." And she's just in her bikini because they're doing pool work on like the tiles around their pool. And the pool man's name was Tim, so he was there too, tiling. And she was hilarious. Like,
yeah, she was full of energy, full of life.
Just like,
funny lady, yeah.
Had like tile grout all over her bikini. She was just so funny. And she's obsessed with her chickens, rightfully so. And we assumed she had no kids because she sent us so much details on the chickens.
The chicken details was like a 50-page essay at how to take care of these chickens and make sure they're all good. And a lot of people we've house sit for don't have kids and really care about their dogs. So I was like, yeah, I don't think she has kids if she cares about her chickens as much. It seems like this is like her passion.
But turns out they both have kids from previous marriages.
So
we asked her, "Where are you going?" And she was like all annoyed. And she goes, "Oh, Nigel's daughter asked us to do some things for her, and we have to go down to Tasmania and garden for her." And she's all annoyed. And so we're laughing and whatever. And turns out, like, his daughter has a 10-month-old. He told us this, and he's all excited to go down. And she, on the other hand, sounded so annoyed to go down to Tasmania. But then we got to meet her chickens, and we already described the silky one. It's being so funny. They're kind of scared of us at first.
Yeah, we're becoming more friendly with them. We feed them some mealworms and some, like, deli meats. These guys eat anything.
Yeah, and she's showing us her. She has so many plants.
Oh, my gosh. The plants, like, it was, like, a little overwhelming at first how many, like, things you have to water inside and, like, how to take care of all these plants and stuff like that. And then it's like when we did our first watering, it's really not that much, but one of the plants, Louise showed us around for basically everything. And then Nigel was like, "Oh, you guys are Americans, right? All right, I got to show you my weed plant and you got to water this." So he takes us down to like a hidden spot in his garden on like a face. And he's got like 4 weed plants growing down there. They're all super small.
It was hilarious. No, she said it. She goes, "Oh, guys, because you're American, Nigel wants to show you how to water his weed plants." Yeah. So I really thought that he was leading us down to, like, I thought that because we're foreign, we wouldn't be able to identify weeds in their garden. And they wanted to point out like which weeds we need to pull or something like that. And we get down there and he unzips these hidden plants.
Yeah, from... and like some greenhouses.
And they were weed, which was so funny.
Yeah, and these guys got like rocks and crystals everywhere along the house. They seem like real hippies.
And they're wealthy, wealthy. Like their house is beautiful.
Yeah, this is by far the nicest house. It's too bad the pool is getting worked on, but I think it should be done by the end of the week. So.
Yeah, they assured us that their pool will be ready for us while we're here. So we're staying in the guest house, which is right.
It's like a hotel. It's amazing.
Yeah. But we also use the main house. We're in the main house right now. We use it to like cook and hang out. But then we sleep in the guest house.
Yeah. And you can actually in the movie theater right now. They have a massive screen with the nicest massage chair I've ever seen and used. It was amazing.
I really want a movie theater just like this one in our house.
It's so cool.
But anyways, so... she was showing us all her plants, and honestly, thank God that she wrote such a specific directory on like everything in her house and the chickens.
She drew a map of what plants need daily watering and what plants need by day or like day watering every other day and every week. It's all color coordinated and like a map to scale of the property.
And she was showing us her veggie garden, and she had just shown us the chickens. And showed us, like, how to sweep up their poop. And then she just goes ahead and grabs a strawberry. And she goes, who wants to eat this one? And Corey did.
No, you said she... I love strawberries.
Well, like... first off, if she didn't have chicken poop on her hand, I would still have said, Corey likes strawberries.
Honestly, I didn't even think of...
She was just dusting up all the chicken poop seconds before. And then... gets all handsy with this giant strawberry, and then Corey ate it.
I didn't even think of that, to be honest. Why didn't you, like, slap it out of my hand?
Because I didn't want to, like, be the weirdo that's like, oh my god, don't you have chicken poop on your hands?
Maxie, I can't believe you left me, thrown me in the ditch like
it
that.
It was a panic. I didn't know what to do about it. Because, I don't know, but I think you're fine. She probably didn't get it all over her hands. But Tim, the pool guy, it was like drinking beers with them.
Yeah.
And I don't think they offered us anything, but not that we would accept, but they were just drinking beers and chilling. And Corey and I were like, well, if he's outside, by the way, if I got a little bit quieter, but I think we're in a soundproof room. So we said to each other, maybe this pool would get finished a little bit quicker if this man wasn't hanging out with the homeowners, drinking beers with them on the back porch and smoking weed. Smoking weed, everybody. The pool man was smoking weed with them. We saw it because all their whole house opens up with doors that turn into just open air walls.
Yeah, so maybe the pool would have been done if they actually worked.
Yeah, but we forgot we were in Australia.
Oh, yeah. And you also wanted to talk about...
Oh, this actually is very funny. So we were standing near the guest house and it's gorgeous and it walks right out to the pool. So she goes, actually, my daughter's getting married right here. Sorry, I feel like I have to cough. Excuse me. And so she goes, yeah, she's going to walk right out from this guest house right to the pool. My husband's pissed because he has to build... A platform to go over the pool so they could stand on top of the pool.
And all the guests are going to be standing out here.
Yeah, and I go, oh my gosh, how many guests are you having? Because it's not the biggest pool area.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I don't know. And I said, oh, when's the wedding? And she goes, oh, he hasn't proposed yet. And so we're all just laughing. Turns out he's not even proposing until next year. And... she goes, I just can't wait for grandkids. I just can't wait for grandkids. So we figure, Corey and I think that maybe like the daughter, who's 27, had just started dating this guy this year probably. And then she orchestrated, she told us the proposals next year in Austria, they're going skiing and his family from England is going to come and also stay with them on this vacation. And then he's going to propose on the ski trip. But seems like a little obvious. Like, why is your boyfriend's family who doesn't know your family coming on the family trip? Like, obviously it would be a proposal.
Yeah, it's seemed a little controlling of her to be like, yeah, they're getting married here. And then she also was like, yeah, we're also building them a house. We're building them a duplex. Then they can buy the duplex for X amount and then sell it in a year. We're going to sell the other house and make money off it. And she seems like she's just got it all planned out.
Yeah, she said they're going to have to move up from Sydney to live next to them in the neighboring town. And
yeah, she's just got it all figured out for her family.
Yeah, and it just seems that she's very obsessed with her kids and doesn't like her husband's kids.
Yeah, and also super controlling, because that makes sense of all the chicken detailed information, you know?
Yeah, Corey and I were like, okay, if someone is this detailed on their chickens, they probably don't have kids. But then we realized, oh, if someone with kids is this detailed, they're also that crazy with their own kids.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically, that was just like how I don't want to be as a parent. Like, she is has her hands in all the
business,
on all the puppet wires of her kids.
Yeah, and then we got, they eventually left. And did you have any, did you want
but to talk about? She was really funny. Like,
oh, yeah, they were great.
We liked them a lot. They were very cool. He knew the Bra Boys. Nigel was a surfer in Narrabin, Sydney, and he kind of knew about the Bra Boys lore of the eastern lower beach Maroubra.
Yeah.
And yeah, then we did water the plants and let the chickens free range. And I was so stressed out. I just don't have confidence in my gardening. And I think that I'm going to kill people's precious plants that they care about so much to write specific watering keys. And some plants you don't water at all, and some are every day, and some are every other day, and some are twice a week.
But we're going to clear that emotional fear of watering and killing plants.
Yeah, I very rarely feel like I want to cry, and I actually wanted to cry when I was watering the plants, and Corey was across the whole yard watering other plants, and I was trying to ask him for like emotional support because I didn't know which plants were the ones to water and for how long. And yeah, basically, I don't have a lot of,
you'll learn how to
positive water. History keeping plants alive.
If you water them, they'll stay alive. And
well, I've overwatered. I think that's why
I think it's ridiculously hard to overwater anything but a cactus.
I've overwatered
a cactus.
Yes,
that's why.
And other plants.
No, it's like if you water a plant every day,
my ponytail palm tree was waterlogged.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and another thing, when these chickens were out free ranging, like this pigeon bird thing got into the hen house or the coop. Not the coop, but the run, I think they call it, where it's just like an outdoor area where the chickens are allowed to roam, but it's still fenced in. And a chicken got in there, or a bird got in there, and it was just going nuts. And I was like, oh, I've got to try and corral this thing out. And it wasn't going out. Like, birds are so stupid. Like, why don't you just go to the spot where there's an opening? So I eventually had to just go and try to corral it out, try to do whatever, and it wasn't leaving. So I just picked it up, and then Maxie walked over to me as I was holding this bird about to let it free. He's like, is that a bird? What are you doing?
Yeah, I thought it was a fake bird that you were holding.
No, but he was my friend, and I let him go, and I named him Norbert Jr.
It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, and it flew away. I forgot to mention that Tim, the pool guy, I guess he used to use the guest house bathroom if guests aren't here. But since we're here, he's going to be using the main house bathroom. And Nigel, the husband, was looking for Tim while we were there. And Louise was screaming, he's on the toilet! Nigel, Tim's on the toilet! And it was just absolutely hilarious. These people are so funny.
Yeah, they are a riot. Yeah.
Yeah, did you mention the massage chair?
Yeah, we did mention
the massage chair. Okay, because we watched Below Deck in the movie theater room, and it was I got an hour massage
from a chair.
A very professional chair.
It's an insane looking chair. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a spaceship.
But yeah, I think that's all for this week, guys. We'll keep you updated on things happening and all the fun stuff we're doing.
Yeah, sorry if that was long. It was a very funny few days.
Yeah, it was a riot. Definitely a fun couple days. Yeah, and we hope you all have a good day.
Love you guys. Have a good day.